Well, I'm glad to see a few young people here this evening. Young folk, I'm not going to ask you to come up to the front, because the talk this evening is a little bit shorter than usual. But I was doing a little bit of investigating recently, and I wonder, I'm not expecting the children to, as it were, necessarily shout out yes or anything to this, but I wonder if any of the young folk heard of these toys. I wonder, has any child heard of a toy called a Hatchimal? Or what about a Skylander Imaginator? I see a few nods of the head, so yes, I'm not completely away with it. What about a Star Wars quadcopter? Would anybody like a Star Wars quadcopter? Yes, I'm not sure. Sounds a bit pricey to me, mind you. Or what about a Captain America shield? There's another nod of the head. There's a young lady who is very hopeful of getting a Captain America shield. Okay. Well, apparently, these are some of the top toy gifts that children around the nation are dreaming of getting in a week's time. So I hope I haven't caused a bit of a disturbance in any homes. So sorry about that. But what I want to do tonight, just for a few moments, is to think about three other little gifts. No, not a Captain America shield or a quadcopter or anything like that, but something else, and something actually much more significant and much more important, even though the children may struggle to see that. We are told in the Bible, in James chapter 1, about every good and perfect gift which comes from above. And I just want us to, just before we sing another carol, and then hopefully most will be willing to go up for a short time for your little glass of slur and mince pie to sing a few more carols before you go home, I want to mention three gifts. The first gift that we think of at this Christmas time is the gift of grace. We didn't read the verse tonight, but in Titus chapter 2, it says this: "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." It's speaking about the birth of Jesus Christ. The grace of God appeared. 2,000 years ago, the grace of God appeared. Of course, the grace of God had been there before 2,000 years ago, but the grace of God appeared in a very special package. It appeared in flesh and blood, a little crying baby born into a little village called Bethlehem outside the city of Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but I love the poetry and indeed the hymn writing ability of Christina Rossetti. And Christina Rossetti is well known for some of the poems and hymns that we may sing at this time of the year, but she wrote many other things, so you can go away and Google that. One of the most famous, "Love Came Down at Christmas." Love all lovely, love divine, love was born at Christmas, star and angels gave the sign. I've already hinted at this, but do you think grace and love that came at Christmas, was it there before the first Christmas? Well, of course it was. Love is an eternal thing because God is love and God is eternal. At Christmas time, we sometimes say, well, show somebody how much you love them. Give them a gift. It doesn't have to necessarily be a gift wrapped up in a box. It might be the gift of time. It might be the gift of getting alongside them and helping. It might be the gift of kindness. It might be the gift, says he, tongue in cheek, of a husband saying, you know what, I'll empty the dishwasher for you. You see, love comes in different ways. But on a very serious point, how did God show his love to us? Well, 1 John chapter 4, this is how God showed his love towards us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Folks, the most amazing gift that God ever gave, and that's why the song bears the words, it was amazing grace. It was an amazing love that God gave in that delicate, precious little package that was born 2,000 years ago to the Virgin Mary. He was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And you know, folks, whenever you're touched by that grace, which is amazing, whenever you're touched by that love, it ought to begin to overwhelm you. And the fact that it doesn't overwhelm us shows that we need to be revived, renewed, born again. We really do. There's a song we don't actually often sing it, one for the praise group maybe, a lovely little song which I love, Overwhelmed by Love. Deeper than oceans, high as the heavens, ever living God, your love has rescued me. So here's something much more important than a shield or a quadcopter or a hatchimal, whatever it is. The amazing grace and love of Almighty God. Here's another gift I want you to think about just for a moment. The gift of joy. A recent newspaper article was entitled 12 Reasons to Rejoice on Christmas Day. There were some helpful points made, of course. Time with children, families coming together, exchanging gifts. But you know what? In this prominent article, in this prominent national newspaper, not one mention of the Lord as a reason to rejoice. Not that I'm too surprised. As we said this morning, that's the way our nation is at the moment, sadly. But here is a reason to rejoice. Here is the reason to be filled with joy. Indeed, here is the only way in which we can be filled with a deep sense of joy. Again, if you haven't read the bulletin as yet today, do go home and tonight or someday this week, pick it up and look at what's in the little section, Be Inspired. It's all about joy. Joy, I hope you realize, is a very important Bible theme. The angels announced to the shepherds glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Now, I'm sure you understand that joy is not the same as happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. And of course, life being life, we cannot always be happy. But there's a real difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is something that actually depends largely on your circumstance. Things are going reasonably well, so you're reasonably happy. Things are not going well, so you're not so happy. Or to put a little Christmas twist on it, you get some presents, so you're happy. Oh, it's socks and hankies again, you're reasonably happy. Or you didn't overcook the turkey or boil in the sprouts, so you're pretty happy. But joy is something completely different. Joy actually is not to do with our outward circumstances. Joy is more to do with our inward condition. Because our outward circumstances may actually be pretty difficult and not overly encouraging, and yet here is the wonder of the gospel. You can still have inner joy. Someone may not be in the greatest health, and yet they may be able to have a joy. Someone may have come through a difficult period, and yet they can still, at some point, experience an inner joy. How is that possible? The reason that it's possible is that joy is not something that comes from our circumstances, which are up and down and are as changeable as the weather. Joy is something that comes from God himself. You see, the angels announced the glad tidings of great joy. Great joy doesn't come from this world. It comes from the heavens. And so the angels announced the coming of that deep joy. And of course, the basis and the foundation of that joy is the atoning work of Jesus. And when we have Christ, and when you have Christ as your Savior and your friend, you can experience a joy. One of my favorite verses, "The joy of the Lord shall be your strength." Is that your strength today? Let that be your strength in this coming week. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And here's the third gift I mention. It's the gift of peace. Again, the angels announced in Luke chapter 2 in that passage, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men." Now, here's an important question. Was there peace in the world when Jesus came? No, there wasn't. And is there peace in our world tonight at the close of 2016? No, there isn't. And we could go off on a tangent and think about the people of Syria, the people of Yemen, the people of West Africa, the people of a whole host of other places. So what were the angels referring to, this peace, if it's not a world peace in the sense of the cessation of military operations and all of that kind of stuff? What were they talking about? Well, of course, they were talking about a peace from God. They were talking about a peace that passes understanding. They were talking about an inward peace that comes when men and women and boys and girls put their trust in the living Christ. It's not an outward peace, because I think there will always be war and rumor of war in this world until the Lord Jesus comes back. But in the midst of that strife, there are, praise God, many people from every tribe and nation and tongue who are coming to experience an inner peace as they come to experience a peace with God. Tell me tonight, do you have a peace with God? Are you at peace with God? Have you, to use a very human phraseology, made your peace with God? I understand, of course, that God needs to be at work for a man or a woman to make their peace with God. But have you made your peace with God? One of the old Puritans, Thomas Watson, said this, and he was thinking about people who really weren't particularly interested in the gospel, but they seemed to have a peace or a contentment. And Watson said this. He said, "The seeming peace that a sinner has is not from the knowledge of his happiness, but the ignorance of his danger." So there are people today walking around Kilkeel tonight. There are people walking around the streets of Ulster tonight and this nation in which we live and they're sort of at peace with themselves and at peace with the world. They've no interest in the gospel, but they have a kind of peace. And the old writer Thomas Watson teaches us that that seeming peace comes because they do not realize the danger that they are in without God. Let me remind you of these words of a couple of the hymn writers as I draw this to a close. When peace like a river, said Horatio Spafford, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Folks, do you know something of that tonight? To be able to say, it's well with my soul. That's the peace that the angels spoke about. That's the peace that Christ came to bring. The peace with God. The peace that can even take us through the struggles and the storms of life. And the peace that can go on with Spafford to say, but Lord, it's for you, for your coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Folks, tonight as we conclude this little time of choral service, do you have that gift? There's not a gift any more greater than that. To know the grace of God, to know the joy of Christ, to know the peace of God in your heart. Here we are on the 18th day of December 2016. We trust and pray that we will see the end of this year and step into 2017, though none of us can say with certainty. But what a great thing to have these gifts in our hearts, so that come what may, you and I can say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Amen. A short prayer and then we will sing our closing choral. Father, we pray that you would take these gifts and may they be richly applied into our hearts. May we be filled with thankfulness for the grace of God, the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ, which are all wrapped up within our hearts. Lord, may it be. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.